this morning to you, Lord. We give you our hearts, we give you our lives, Lord God, and we ask that you would come and be with us in this place. God, that you would dwell with us, God, that we can be close to you again, God. It's our heart's desire to see you and to know you, and Lord, we're here today desiring that and nothing else but that, God. I pray that you would fill this place with your presence, fill it with your love, Lord, that we would feel you, that we would know you, that we would experience you, God. Come and have your way, and don't let us get in the way of your presence. Don't let us get in the way with our distractions and with our thoughts of the work that you want to do, Lord. We're open to you, God. We're open to the things that you want to do, Lord. God, we give this time to you. We ask that you would bless it with nothing but your presence. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. We want to honor you, Lord. Let our worship be pleasing to your ears. Let it be genuine and true. Because we want nothing else but to honor you, God. You're worthy of everything that we can give. We love you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Why don't we all stand for this first song?
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. Up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. Great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Day when my strength is failing, the end draws near, my time has come, and still my soul will sing your praise unending. 1,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship. worship your holy name.
Sing it one more time.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Victory. Ooh, oh, you say I'm loved.
believe. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe what you say. Help us to find our identities in you, Lord Jesus. That we would be yours, that we would be adopted by you, God. That we would take what you say and run with it, God. That when you say we're beautiful, and when you say we're worthy, that when you say we're strong, God, that we would live that way, God. That we wouldn't believe the lies of the enemy, that we wouldn't believe the things that people say around us, God, but that what you say, Lord Jesus, our Creator believes that we are beautiful. Our Creator believes that we are lovely. God, I pray that you would implant that in our hearts and in our lives, God, that we wouldn't live in any other way but to know that our Creator knows that we are good. And we're good because you're good, God. Let that be a truth that sits in our hearts. And I speak against every lie of the enemy that says the opposite, Lord God. We choose to believe what you say, God, because your word doesn't come back void. Your word is true and your word is strong, and we believe it, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For this next song, it's Tree, the song that we've sang a lot, and I want us to like sing it and believe it, and just be able to pray that over ourselves, and that would be the attitude of our hearts, that we would be planted in God, and that we wouldn't move, because this world can move us and this world can shake us, but in Jesus' name we will stay strong because of who he is. So I pray that would be the cry of our hearts today as we sing this next song.
I wanna be unmovable, unshakable, so let our roots go down deep. Unmovable and unshakable in you. I wanna be unmovable and unshakable, so let our roots go down deep. Unmovable and unshakable in you. So let my roots go down deep, unmovable and unshakable in you. I wanna be unmovable and unshakable, so let my roots go down deep, unmovable and unshakable in you. Oh, and I wanna be like a tree planted by the streams of living water. Oh, and I wanna be like a tree planted by the streams of living water. Sing that out. Oh, and I wanna be like a tree. my prayer till the end, till the end. This will be our song, God. This will be our prayer till the end, till the end. In the midst of the coming storm, in the midst of the coming blessing, my life will be built upon the rock. That I will not be moved. Oh, that I will not be shaken. And unshakable, so let my roots go down deep. Unmovable and unshakable in you. I wanna be unmovable and unshakable, so let my roots go down deep. Unmovable and unshakable in you. Oh, and I wanna be like a tree planted by the streams of living water. Oh, and I wanna be like a tree planted by the streams of living water. Oh, and I wanna be like a tree planted by the streams of living water. Oh, and I wanna be like a tree planted by the streams of living water. And this will be our song, God. This will be my prayer till the end, till the end. And this will be my song, God. And this will be my prayer till the end, till the end.
Try it again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. God is awesome. God is wonderful. God is, you can fill it in. Amen. Look around you. Look to the back. Look to the front. Say hello to somebody. Amen. You can say what's up. You can say what's up too. Pastor Al, is it okay to say what's up? You can say what's up. You can even turn to somebody and give them a head nod. Just do one of these. Okay? Of course, if there are a lot of rows back, you got to really reach over everybody. But God is good. Amen? And I believe you guys are all blessed. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died for us that we may have life and life abundantly. And I believe that you have that. I believe that you are more than conquerors. Amen?
Amen.
Do you guys believe that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I have a question for you guys, if it's okay. I'm only going to take 25, 30 minutes. Is anybody here, or has anybody ever made an impulse buy? Or are you, maybe don't admit, an impulsive buyer? Is anyone like me that you go to the store for a gallon of milk, and you come back with a gallon of milk, a pack of cookies and some chips and some brownies and whatever else, right? Or am I the only one? But possibly, yeah. Can you tell? Right, that's why I'm not sent to the market. That's the whole plan already. I don't get sent anymore because... But we've made these purchases in the past. We've made these decisions in the past, right? We have made decisions in the past that may even affect us now, right? Credit scores and who knows what, right? Still stuff we're probably trying to get rid of or trying to get out of, whatever decisions we made in the past. And I want to read to you in Ecclesiastes 11:4. There's an image here, and I'll just read it. Verse 4 says, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good." Amen. But verse 4 says that he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. You know, we've made impulse buys. I know I've been guilty of it. Lord, give us wisdom, right, on being great stewards of what the Lord has blessed us with. And if you haven't in the past, then you say, "Lord, forgive me and help me be a good steward from now on," right? We continue on forward and we ask the Lord's help in these areas. But one thing that he does, not even ask, he tells us to do, but even he challenges us. And Malachi says, and we say it many times, "Test me in this." Right? He says, "Test me in this. When you pay your tithe, you give your offering, I will bless you." And he gives you permission to test him in this area. He gives you permission. He says, "Watch, trust me in this area." And here it gives you the picture of the farmer who is waiting for a good time. Right? It says he observes the wind and regards the clouds. So in other words, he's stopping. He's analyzing everything. He's slowing everything down. And he's not moving forward because it's not the right circumstance. Or it's not the right situation. But I'll tell you what. If we put God first, we sow no matter what the circumstance tells us, no matter what the bank account tells us, no matter what the bills are saying. Sometimes those bills are real loud. And we need to tell them to shut up in the name of Jesus, because our God is good. Our God is good. Right? Philippians 4:19 says, "My God, your God, our God shall supply all of our needs." All of your needs. Do you trust in God? Do you trust in God? I believe, that song says, I believe what His Word says. I believe what He says of me. And I believe that He says, "Test me in this and see if I don't pour out a blessing." We trust in the Lord. Lord, we believe in You. We trust in You. And we're not going to wait till anything looks good. No, Lord says, "Trust me and watch everything be good." Amen. God is good. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We glorify You. We honor You, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that You, Lord, are our provider. And we thank You, Lord, that You say, "Test You in this." And as we sow this seed, Lord, we thank You for multiplication, Lord. We thank You that You provide our needs, Lord. We do not live in lack, Lord. And we thank You for Your blessings, Lord. We love You. We honor You, Lord. And we thank You once again in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
guides my heart. Lord, I need, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. Only a couple of you doing great. The rest? All right. So let's read the word. Why don't we just stand up and listen to the word of God? It would be a good thing. Like, you guys can wake up a little bit. Maybe next time I say, how are you? You can answer a little bit louder. So, yeah. And then go ahead. We're reading from Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 to 12.
Says, and the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test him they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, when it is evening you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be a stormy day, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the sign of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no one will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. So he left them and departed. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, we brought no bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees.
Thank you so much. All right, Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you for being here. And Lord, we sing and we, with all of our hearts, we say we need you. With all of our heart, we proclaim that we believe in you. We believe in what you are going to say about us today, what you're going to do in our hearts today. With all of our hearts, we believe that you have a plan for us. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts today, that we will receive your word and only your word. in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, all the children are dismissed, those who are still here, and the rest of you, you're all mine. That's it. I get you for the next 2 hours. There is no moving. Close the doors, please. This is going to be really weird. Just kidding. We're not a cult. I was reading this chapter and sent it to my wife during one of our devotions. And the story is very simple. We're very familiar with the leading stories. Jesus is preaching. A great crowd gathers as usual. They get really hungry. Jesus, you know, takes a couple of pieces of bread, a couple of fish, and, you know, makes a huge feast out of it, feeds everyone, you know. Did that a couple of times. The first time we learned about this, he sent the disciples across the lake. They go through the waves and the storm, and then he catches up to them. This time, he is the one that's being tested. So after the feast is over, he crosses into another city. And then once he gets there, the Pharisees and the other group of people that don't really like each other, but they gather together to test Jesus, right? They come to Jesus and start asking him some questions. And Jesus sends, you know, says, how is it that you don't know and you're supposed to know? You're the teachers of the law. You're the religious people. You're supposed to know how to interpret, you know, the signs. You keep asking me for signs, but the signs are all over the place. Everything that has been written about me is happening right in front of you, okay? Everything that you have been preaching about is happening right now. People are getting healed. People are being, you know, the blind is seeing again. You know, the dead are being raised from the dead. So many things that you've been teaching for years and you've been waiting on for years are happening right in front of you, and you still cannot interpret the signs, okay? They don't ask. They don't ask any follow-up questions. They don't believe, and then they just leave. And then the Bible says, goes on to say that the disciples caught up to him. I'm just giving you a background, okay? The disciples get caught up to him, and they forgot to bring food with them, okay? Maybe they didn't have money. Maybe they were like, you know, we don't need that kind of stuff anymore. We got Jesus. We don't need to worry about food. We don't need to worry about clothes. We don't need to worry about safety. We got Jesus with us, right? So the Bible does state that they forgot to bring food with them. And then once Jesus was done with the Pharisees, he looks at the disciples and goes, be careful with the what? What is it? Isn't it translated like yeast? Is it the same thing? Okay. So he said, be careful with the yeast of the Pharisees. Okay? And the disciples like, oh man, we forgot to bring bread. You know? And Jesus looks at them like, really? You're worried about bread? Is that what you get from what I'm saying? Is that what you understood from all these years, all these, you know, miracles after miracles, all these weeks and months and maybe a couple of years I've been spending with you? That's what I'm worried about? I'm worried about your bread, about your next meal? That's our focus? And then he goes, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Do you still not understand? And this is the part I am talking about. The misinterpretation of the Word of God. The mistranslation of what God is doing in our life. We have been walking with Him, or we have been listening to Him for years and years, and we're still, for some reason, misunderstanding Him. Because something in us, you know, when I first came to the United States, I was trying to learn English, okay? And it was so hard for me when I couldn't understand a word. It was so hard. It was such a huge task to get the dictionary and try to get that, you know. And then they came up with this pen, okay? This device, right? That you scan the word and you look at the little LED thing, and it gives you the word in Arabic, okay? Or it gives you the word in Spanish or whatever language you want to set it to. It was an amazing device, right? Couldn't afford to buy it at the time because it was like $1,000 and I was making like 50 cents an hour. So I couldn't afford it. I'm not kidding. So I couldn't afford it, but I was like, one day I want to get that device that I can just scan and it gives me the translation. Couldn't afford it at the time, which is was great. It forced me to read the dictionary. But Jesus here addresses the issue right away. He addresses that, no, you misunderstood me. I am not talking about the bread. I'm not talking about your next meal. I'm talking about something much, much deeper than this. I'm talking about the teaching and the methods of the Pharisees and Sadducees, or the teaching that they're giving you. And he addresses their lack of faith. It just happened to you a couple of days ago. It just happened to you last week. It just happened to you a week or two before. I provided for you, and reminded them that he did provide for them. So why are you worried again? And this is a reminder to all of us, when that worry, as Pastor Mike comes, when the bills that are so loud, as you said, that are so loud coming, when the situations that are so loud are coming and screaming in our ears and our heart, just remind them of what Jesus did last week, or the month before, or last year. When that report from the doctor comes, just remind them of what happened to you or happened to someone, you know. Just remind them, just Jesus, like Jesus reminded his disciples. So that is taken care of. And then here is our message today. You guys ready? All right. So here are the tools that I found in myself. Here are the things, the systems, you know. And by the way, I labeled this message translation system. Here are the translation systems that I found in my, you know, worry heart. I found translation system based on my inability for in certain things. I found translation system based on my current circumstances, what I'm going through right now, okay? And that translates whatever is happening, whatever God is trying to do in my life, based on where I am right at this moment. I found that I translate based on my past failures. And I also found that I can translate things based on the size of the task ahead of me. When I see a huge task ahead of me, that always translates, you can never do that because it's too big for you. Because you can never overcome this huge mountain. You can never overcome this obstacle. So buckle up and let's start with our natural ability to translate God's word to the way it actually meant to be. And a great example of that, we find the first man that we hear of is Abraham. Okay? God comes to Abraham. Abraham was about, like, a young man, about 100 years old or so. Very young, just starting his life. Probably doing CrossFit every morning with us. And, you know, very energetic. And God comes to him and say, I am the Lord Almighty. I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase you in numbers. And God starts giving him promises that you will be, your descendants will be more than the sand of the ocean, that you will have kings coming from you, that you will have great nations coming to you. And God is giving him all these promises from you and Sarah. And remember, he was 100 or 99, and Sarah was just a couple of years younger. And then Abraham, listen to this. Abraham fell face down. He laughed. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. God is coming to talk to him about the nations that will be coming out from him. God is trying to tell him that kings will be coming from your descendants. And Abraham looks, he's like, okay, great. Can you just take care of Ishmael? That's all I want from you. He laughs at the promise of God. He laughs at what God is trying to do in his life. Because he looks at his age, he looks at his wife's age, he looks at his natural ability, and he laughs. Let me tell you something, we do the same thing until this day. When God comes with a huge vision in your life or in my life, when God comes with a great dream or a great plan and say that I am going to use you in this area, or I am going to prosper you in this area, or I'm going to multiply you in this area, I look, I'm like, me? I can't even speak English. I'm still struggling to learn how to read. I'm still struggling to even learn. My natural ability does not allow me to even accept what God is saying. But here is the key to this verse right here. The key to this verse is what God started with. In Genesis 17, it says, "The Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am the God Almighty.'" Can you say this with me? I am the God Almighty. Say it a little bit louder. I am the God Almighty. This is the key to your life right here. When you look at yourself and you look at that you can't do it, that's wonderful. This is a great start, and this is exactly where God wants you to be. But this is not the only start. The very beginning is, I am the Lord God Almighty. God is able to do anything and everything, even through someone who's 90 years old and 100 years old. Still, the nations will be coming from you. The kings will be coming from you. The sentence, because, not because of you, but because I am the God, Lord God Almighty. Instead of looking at yourself when you're receiving a promise, and instead of you looking at your own ability when God is speaking something over your life, no, look at His ability, if He can deliver that or not. You know? So He tells him, I am the Lord God, or I am God Almighty. I can do everything. Now, Abraham didn't have the Bible to look into. You and I are blessed. You and I are privileged. Let me tell you, we are really privileged. Because we've been hearing about the God, the Almighty God that split the seas. We've been hearing about the God that raised the dead. We've been hearing about the God that delivered from the fire pit. We've been hearing about the God that saved from the lion den. We've been hearing about Him over and over and over, and we're still doubting Him and trying to rely on our own muscles, on our own natural abilities. Abraham, this is not about you and what you can do. It's about what I am, the Lord Almighty, can do. Instead of focusing on your age and Sarah's age, focus on me and my promises. And then, please stop offering alternatives. He said, okay, I know you're good. I know. So, he already dismissed the idea of him having children. So why don't we go to what I did before? Remember how I had this boy, his name is Ishmael, because I couldn't have any babies from Sarah, so I went and married, Hagar, right? Okay, and we have this baby. So why don't we go to the alternative plan that I came up with? See, God has been waiting for that long. God has been holding back for that long, and trust me, it pains God more than it's paining you. It hurts His heart more than it's hurting your heart. He's been holding because the idea, the story of you and Isaac is much deeper than a father having a son. Isaac is going to resemble Jesus. And you are going to resemble the father. I am writing a story that shines my name, that shines my relationship with my son. I am trying to have you join my story, not create your own story. So Isaac is much deeper. You've been waiting because just like Jesus was a miracle baby, who could say that a teenage girl from Bethlehem or from Israel who had never, slept with anyone, who's not married yet, all of a sudden would have a child? That's a miracle. And who would say that a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman can also have a child? Here is another miracle baby. Isaac was such a wonderful son who was obedient to his father. Jesus was such a wonderful son who was obedient to his father. Isaac was offered on that mountain of Moriah. Okay? Jesus was offered on that mountain, on that cross or on that tree. You know, if you look at the similarities, God is trying to create something special out of your inability or out of your natural ability. God is trying to create something much, much deeper than what you and I are thinking about. And that's what He's trying to do in your life and my life. So why don't we take our inability today? First, be thankful for it. Be thankful for 100 years of living without a child? Yes, be thankful for that. Because right now you're joining a much deeper story, a much greater purpose, a much deeper meaning for your life and my life. Do you get it? Or am I, or I do not, is that, okay. Sometimes I don't know if you guys understand me or not. It's all right. It's all good. Both are loved. Both submitted to their father's will. Both of them were offered as a sacrifice in pain. In pain were offered as a sacrifice. But all received the glory after. All were resurrected. You know, Jesus was resurrected after the third day. Isaac, God offered another sacrifice and got up from that altar, went back with his father. Can you say amen to that? Can you say amen that even though you're going to go through some pain right now, but you're still going to receive the glory, the everlasting glory, not just the momentary glory, but the everlasting glory. Wonderful thing that you have that you aren't able. It's a wonderful thing that you can't. It's a wonderful thing that you could not do it for all these years. It's an amazing thing because now you're going to be a part of a greater story. Say amen. Amen. Woo. It's going to be a new beginning. I'm telling you, it's going to be a new beginning. I'm changing your name. I'm changing your name from Abram to Abraham. Okay? I am giving you the land. Are you ready to take the land? It's all going to be yours. Are you ready to receive it? It's all yours, baby. Well, he didn't say that, but I'm just... See, he saw that there is no way out of this, which is great. But God can see something different. You see a little boy, his name is David, right? That's all you can see. Okay, but God sees a warrior. God sees a king who defeats the giants, who defeats kings, who defeats and delivers. God sees something completely different than what we see. And trust me, take his vision. It's much better. Much better for you and for me. Then I translate. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about myself. I translate based on my failures and past experience. One of my favorite stories, and I know I use it all the time, but I can't help it, but I do love it. It's the story from Luke 5 when Jesus went to the shore and wanted to preach, or he was preaching, and then the crowd, as always, he speaks and everyone gathers. Completely the opposite from what I do. When I preach, everyone leaves. It's different. I don't know why, but I still believe. It's going to happen one day. So that's my natural ability. So Jesus uses the boat. There are two boats for partners, okay? They're the Simon and Co., like Simon and Co. Inc. You know, they're fishermen, and they're like, you know, fished all night, didn't catch anything, and they're cleaning their nets in the morning. And Jesus comes through, uses one of the boats to preach. And after he preached, he says to Simon, go back to the deep and then let down your nets. And, you know, and Simon said, what? I have worked all night and caught nothing. See, that part, this verse, when I hear it, it really does something in my heart. Like, it does something in my heart. When I hear him saying, I have done this over and over and over, and there is nothing. Nothing came out of it. I have done this over and over all night, and we're tired. We're exhausted, and we didn't catch anything. And Jesus, but because you said it, you know what? I'm going to do it this time. Not both boats go back, just one. They go back. And my translation usually uses what I've done all of my life, what I'm expert at. I'm expert at failures. That's my expertise. I am expert at messing things up. So when I hear God say, try again, but I just did, and it didn't work. I am expert at failing at things that I've been trying for years and years and years. You know, a lot of people give up so quickly on their marriage because they've tried to reconcile, and they never achieved what they wanted. A lot of people give up on their children because they've tried over and over and they're not listening. You know, a lot of people give up on themselves because they have tried. Give up on a job, give up on a relationship. Whatever it is, we just so quickly to give up because we tried and it didn't work. Okay? But today we're going to do something different. Are you guys ready? Today, we're going to change things around. That boat is not going to be a fishing boat. It's going to be a pulpit. We're going to start with that. We're going to start with your profession being changed from ABC to a pulpit. We're going to change, we're going to start with your house from being your house to God's pulpit, to God's altar. That's what happened in that boat. That boat all of a sudden is no longer a, like a little wooden thing that throws the net. It's now a place being used to preach the word of God. Can you use your life to preach the word of God? Can you allow God to use your marriage? Can you allow God to use you as a father or as a mother or as an employer or as an employee? Can you change that from a boat to a pulpit for God? See, my prayer and my dream that every Christian, including myself first, that we would change our professions from whatever it is into becoming a pulpit for God. That when people come and see us, they hear the word of God. They see the grace of God. They see the love of God. They see the mercy and grace that were extended to us, extended to them as well. We're going to change this whole new experience, you know, upside down. So we're going to put aside that you're a boat, and now we're going to change you as a pulpit. Is that good? Can we try that? And then the next step we're going to do is we're going to change from catching fish to catching people. We're going to change you from just, you know, being about the things of this world, you know, catching the fish, selling the fish, making money, going home, blah, blah, blah. And then we're going to change to that to something more meaningful and something deeper, and that's to catch people for the kingdom of God. Amen? And then finally, you're not going to be the captain anymore. Okay? You're not going to be the, not you. I'm just saying, like, okay. You're not going to be the captain anymore. I am going to be the captain. Simon, I know you have experience in this. And I know you've tried this all night long. But today, you're going to take a seat. And I'm going to lead. And I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to take you where you don't want to be. You don't want to go to the deep because you're tired, right? You don't want to go to the deep because you've tried, right? You don't want to go to the deep because you've been failing all night long, right? Because you were leading. Now I am leading. And let's see what's going to happen. Changed captain, changed profession, changed the goal. Changed captain. Who's the captain of your life today? Are you guys sure? Who's the captain of your life? What's your profession? Are you here just to fish and work and go home and all of that? Or are you here to use your life to speak the word of God, to shine the life of God? Are you guys ready to do that? Because after that, guess what happens? They catch so many fish. Even though they let down one boat, one of the two boats, went into the deep, but there was enough fish for all the boats. There was enough fish for all the boats. And that boat that stayed on the shore did not take the risk of coming to the deep, had to be called, and that's okay. If God gives you the courage to go into the deep and your partners stayed behind, that's okay. Let God work the miracle in your life. And when they see it, they will come along. Can we bring it home? If you're a husband and your wife is being stubborn, and if you're a wife and your husband is not leading the house the way he is supposed to, go to the deep. They will follow. If God has given you a ministry and people around you, your partners or people are helping you around, they don't answer your calls, they don't email you back right away, and they don't respond to a text right away, go to the deep. They will follow. The fish is there. The deep is there. But what's more important, Jesus is in your boat. Does that make sense? Can we change that translation system? Can you be thankful for that horrible night of no fish? Can you be thankful for that horrible season of catching nothing? because today is a new season. Today is a new day, and I'm not just saying that lightly. It is a new day. I was talking to one of the people I work with, and she's telling me how disappointed she is, and very much told me, why haven't you fired me yet? Okay? And I said, because every day to me is a new day. I totally believe that. I believe in that because that's what God has done with me day after day, situation after situation, season after season. It is a new day. I forget about my failures, and I'm not going to let them translate my future, or I'm not going to let them translate the outcome of my future or the next step that I'm going to take. Take that step and go to the deep, but let him be the captain. Switch your goals a little bit around. It's no longer about what we have here on this earth, because that's not going to last too long anyway. Let's go for what's important. Oh, I can stay here for a while, but I need to move on. Paul, you guys know Paul? Paul had something similar. Later on, I'll leave this because I need to hurry up a little. After translating based on our failure, we let our circumstances, our testing time. Can you say that? Testing time. Testing time. Do you like that? Do you like the testing time? Come on. Come on. We need to repent. So, in Mark chapter 4, and I'll show you why, and why this was one of the areas that really spoke to me personally. Mark chapter 4, Jesus was at the end of the boat. He told the disciples, let's cross onto the other side of the lake, okay? And then he was at the end of the boat sleeping. He was tired. He's exhausted. I don't know how he did it, but he did it somehow. From one city to another, walking around, teaching, preaching, healing, doing it all. So he was so tired. He went to, at the end of the boat and he was sleeping. And then a few waves hit the boat. The boat is about to sink. And the disciples come to Jesus screaming at him, saying, I'll read it to you just in case you don't believe me. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Have you ever said that to God before? Don't you care we're drowning? Do you not care about us anymore? During the time of testing, we let those current circumstances, this testing time, sometimes say, translate this into, you don't care about us anymore. You're not listening. You're far away. You're asleep. Should I go on, or you guys know what? You know the things that we always say. Yeah. You have your own language. So the disciples did the same exact thing. They came to Jesus in his moment of stillness, in the moment of silence, which we all go through it. He is sleeping. They are being tormented by the testing time. And that translated to, you don't care about us. I don't care about you. If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be here to begin with. I have sent you one prophet after another. I have sent you one king after another. I have sent you my word over and over and over and over, and you still disobeyed me until I had to come myself in this world to be just like you, to live like you, to be hungry like you, to be sad like you, to be betrayed like you, to go through everything you are going through, and you're still saying, I don't care about you. Not only that, but I am going to the cross on your behalf. You still think that I don't care about you. The testing time doesn't mean that God doesn't care about us. The testing time means God wants to strengthen. The testing time, it means that God wants to show us something that we have never, ever seen before. You can hear about God's miracles all of your life, but until you see it yourself, that's what makes the difference. That's what would truly change your heart. Listen to what happened in Acts 20:27. Paul was going to a long trip, and he told the ship and the captain and all the people, let's not sail right now. It's going to be dangerous for us, right? They didn't listen, and they decided to go ahead. You know the story. So they go on, and then the ship starts, the storms come, the waves hit, and the ship is about to do what? Completely sink. The ship was very much like hanging by, not even a thread. So almost there. Acts 27. Then Paul is praying and praying and praying in the midst of all of that. And by the way, he was a prisoner, not a fisherman. He was a prisoner at the time going to Rome. Then he tells everyone with him on the ship, like 200 plus people. He goes, last night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve. Can you say this? To whom I belong and whom I serve. To whom I belong. One more time. To whom I belong. Last night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of those who sail with you. So, listen to this. So, keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. I'll say this one more time. I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. So God gave you a promise, but right now your boat is being tormented. The storms are very high, but Paul is not only accepting the promise. No, he is accepting it and sharing it with everyone in the boat with him. Can we have the courage to translate that one day? Can we have the courage that one day when I am going through the storms, that not only I have the faith and confidence that I will go through it, but also preach it to everyone around me? Or do I only want to preach when things are nice, when the kids are acting okay, when they're not teenagers anymore, when the bank account is okay and the work is going fine and health is okay? Now I can preach. That's not going to mean anything. But the strongest message comes when those are going through the storm. Paul boldly comes. He's like, this doesn't mean anything. See, the disciples failed at this test. When they saw the waves, when they saw that the boat is breaking, when they saw all of that, they said what? You don't care about us. That was one translation. Another translation, men, have courage. It will happen as he has told me. I am going to Rome. Jesus told the disciples the same thing. He said, cross into the other side. Let's go into the other side. He gave them a destination. They will have to go through the lake. They will have to go through the storm. They will have to go through the big waves, right? But they will get there. Paul had to go through seas and oceans and higher waters and higher storms and higher waves, but he had belief. His translation system was working. My prayer is that during the storm, my translation system wouldn't go down. And it would still keep up. Finally, I want to talk to you about the size of the task. If you look at what Jesus said, and I'm going to rush, I promise. If you look at Jesus, what Jesus said to the disciples, Acts 1, verse 8, but you will receive... Actually, let me read it from the other end. Okay, so he said, you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That's the task. Jesus is talking to 11 disciples at the time, 11 fishermen and different other positions, telling them that you 11, you arise, are going to spread my word. And you're gonna change the lives of hundreds and thousands and millions of people. Okay, great. See you later. Seriously, think about it. Think about it. If Jesus, and he is coming to our church, he is at our church, given us the task to change the whole world. Okay? What would you think? Come on. I can't even change, like, I can't even wake up my daughter in the morning. I'm fine. Do you want me to really go change the world? Well, if you go back to the beginning of the verse, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And then the task. See, a lot of things, we look at the task and how huge the task is, but we forget the power that's much stronger, much higher than any task. We forget that God has given us more power than we actually need for the task ahead of us. Let's go back a little bit in the Old Testament. You know, I can't finish the sermon without the Old Testament because I love it. In Zechariah 4, so he said to me, Zechariah is the prophet of God. He was sleeping and he saw this vision, okay? And God is talking, the angel of God, or God, or Jesus, whatever you want to call him, God is talking to him and saying, go prophesy this on this guy's name is Zerubbabel. So that's your next child's name, Zerubbabel. Great name. So if you're looking for names, here's one. Go and tell Zerubbabel, okay? Yeah, that's his name. I'm not making this up. He said to me, this is the word of the Lord to the Z-man, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. The Lord what? Does that ring a bell? Remember that? Okay. Not by might nor by power, but by what? Spirit. Does that sound familiar as well? Remember the verse that we were just reading a few seconds ago? By my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you? Listen to this. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. There is a huge mountain. Zerubbabel was trying to build the house of God again. Just a little history. So the nation of Israel, living comfortably, everything is great. Then they slid back and they start disobeying God. God sends these nations to occupy, to invade Israel, take some of them away. Then they start repenting. Some of them come back to build the wall. Some of them come back to build the city. And couple God put on their heart to start building the temple again. Zerubbabel was one in charge to rebuild the temple. But he had a huge mountain in front of him. People don't believe in God anymore. People are away from God. Others are trying to come and stop this great work from happening. He's trying to build the house of God again. So he has enemies coming against him. He has people who are defeated and no longer believe that this could happen to them. He has so many things. He has a huge mountain in front of him to be able to build the house of God. And the word of God comes to him and says, who are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a level ground. Find someone who's building right now. Find someone who's building his life. This is the temple of God. When we say a temple of God, back in the days, it meant the actual physical place. Okay? Well, you can relate it to the church also. We're going to get to that. But find someone that's building their temple. The temple, this life right here, okay? Find someone, because I guarantee you, they have a huge mountain in front of them. I guarantee you, every time God is trying to push you forward, there is a huge mountain, mountain of guilt, mountain of hurt, mountain of disbelief, mountain of whatever it is, addiction, mountains and mountains and mountains that are standing in our way. But here is the word of God. Not by might, nor by power, but by what? By spirit. This mountain will be leveled. This mountain will be leveled and this temple will be built. This life will be built. This family will be built. This church will be built and this kingdom will be built. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that Jesus gave, or God gave to the disciples, the 11, 12 people that had no idea what they're doing, all of a sudden they went and changed the whole world. That when they step in place, they say what? Those who have changed the world upside down have come among us. They were being recognized. This life right here, this life right there, this life right here, this life right here will become that temple of the Lord. When people see, they will worship God. Not worship me, worship God. Ooh. When you see someone building, encourage them. If you have a stone, don't cast it at them, but give it to them. Do you feel like sometimes when you go to church, you're being casted with a stone or given a stone? When you go talk to someone, are you throwing a stone at them or giving them a stone to support them? We're called to give support. We're called to build one another. We're called to love one another. There are already huge mountains in front of you and in front of me. A lot of mountains. But by the power of God, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, all these mountains are going to become level ground. When they finished rebuilding the house, there was so much worship and praise, and there was so much crying that they did not know who was crying out of joy and who was crying out of praise. Just so many mixed emotions. I am praying for these emotions one day in our church. I am praying for these emotions in our homes. I'm praying for these emotions that some are crying before God and thanking Him and repenting. I am praying for those emotions to come in our families, that one day the praises will go louder and louder and louder no matter where we are. And remember, the task was huge, but the power of God is much, much bigger. Let's pray. Let's pray and take this time right now, take this opportunity right now to bring whatever translation system you have. There could be so many others. There could be so many others that take the word of God, take this word that you heard today, and either dismiss it and say, I don't speak English, or I don't speak this language, I don't speak the God language, and I don't understand it, I don't want it, it doesn't apply to me, or you can bring it before God. It's okay that you've tried and you couldn't succeed. It's okay that you're unable. It's okay. This is the perfect place to be. Because God is looking at a much, much bigger story, much deeper story. He wants your life to resemble His and His Son. He wants your life to be His life reflecting on yours. Don't let your current circumstances, your testing, your pain, translate God's word or translate what God has been doing in your life. Don't let the failures of the past translate into the future. You're much better than this. God has a better plan. And even if you've tried in the past, try again with Him. Just change things around. Let Him lead. Give him the wheel. Have Him become the captain. Go into the deep with Him, and the rest will follow. The rest will follow. Lord, I pray for Your Holy Spirit to fill this place right now. Lord, I pray for Your Spirit to come and overtake every addiction. Your Holy Spirit to come and take every hurt. Your Holy Spirit to come and overtake every failure. Your Holy Spirit to come and overtake every struggle. Your Holy Spirit to come and overtake every disappointment. Lord, I pray for Your Holy Spirit to come and overtake every mountain that's standing in front of us. That it would become a level ground in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that You would fix us, that You would repair us, that we would accept Your word with joy, that we would believe in Your word and what You're saying, not based on who we are, but based on You being the Almighty God. Every impossible for us is possible for You. And we bring You to come and visit the impossible. We ask You to come and take the impossible. Lord, switch that story right now. Lord, switch the hands that are writing the story. I don't want to write the story anymore. Take the wheel and take the pen and write it yourself. We know that you are able. Just take the next few minutes while the worship team is coming up and see if you have mountains that need to be broken. See if you are in the testing period and thought that God doesn't care. He does care. This testing time is only to make you stronger. It's only to show you new miracles. It's only to show you new levels that you can reach. It's never too late, even if you're 100. It's never too late. He is the God Almighty, and He is here.
Stand before you now, the greatness of your renown. I've heard of the majesty and wonder of you, King of heaven, humility I bow. As your crashes over me, crashes over me, for you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. Heard you calling my name. I've heard the song of love that you sing. Oh, so I will let you draw me out beyond the shore into your grace. Oh, your grace. Crashes over me, crashes over me, for you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. You make me brave. Shore into the waves. You make me brave. You make me brave. No fear can hinder now the love that made a way. You make me brave. You make me brave. You call me out beyond shore into the waves. You make me brave. You make me brave. No fear can hinder now the promises you made. You make me brave. You make me brave. You call.
what makes a wave a wave, that the water comes and hit the shore and goes back and then repeats itself. Comes, the water comes and hit the shore and goes back, and so on. This is waves, right? Can you do this? Can you do this? Waves, right? When the wave does not go back and continue, that makes it a flood. A flood. And I believe that some of us have been just, the relationship with God is just touch and leave, and touch and leave. But God is saying today, I want to flood your life with my love. Love that will not leave you or forsake you. Care that will not leave you or forsake you. Presence that will not leave you or forsake you anymore. You're not a visitor anymore. You're not a visitor anymore. You're not a visitor to the presence of God. You are here to remain. You are here to remain in the glory of God. Yes, you are. You've been experiencing a touch from God here and there. But I believe that God is calling you to flood your life with His presence, with His power, with His almighty wonders. He wants to declare the name above all names on you, to make you His, belong to Him and Him only. The power that will change you forever. The power that will change through you cities, nations, and the world. Do you want to receive this power? Do you want to receive this flood over your life, over your family, over your circumstances, over your failure? If you are like me, I'm standing here not preaching. Believe me, I'm not preaching. I'm just saying this is what we are experiencing. If you are just like me, stand up with me and say, Lord, flood my life with your presence. Flood my life with your mighty power. Flood my life with your mighty power. I don't want to fail again. I don't want to go back empty-handed again. I don't want to spend one more night catching none. I want your power. I want your calling. I want your word to go back into the deep and cast out the net. Flood my life with your confidence, Lord. Flood my life with your confidence. Flood my life with faith. Flood my life with faith, Lord. You know what? Flood my life with healing. Because I'm so broken. I'm so broken inside that I even cannot do anything. I'm paralyzed. Flood my life with your healing, Lord. Flood my life with healing, Lord. Flood my life with healing, Lord. This is my cry, Lord. This is our cry, Lord. We are just broken. Flood my life, Lord. flood my life, Lord, with your presence and your glory. Change me, change me, change me. Is this is your cry? If this is your cry, just cry it out. Change me, Lord. I'm coming to you, Jesus. I'm coming to you, Jesus. Because you are only the only hope I have. You are only the only hope I have, Lord. You're my only hope. To be whole again. To be whole again. The only hope for this church is Jesus. That this church will take the gospel. Your only hope, Jesus. Our program will not take us there. Our preaching will not take us there. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. So take us there. Flood us with your Spirit, Lord. Would you open your hand with me and say, flood me, Lord. Flood me, Lord. Flood me, Lord. Flood my life with your glory. Jesus. I believe that God wants to lead some of us here into inviting Him to your life and to your heart. So I'm going to pray a prayer and repeat it after me. And by repeating this prayer, simple, simple prayer, you will open your heart to Jesus to come to be a king and to be flooded with His presence. So pray after me. Jesus, enter my life. I repent. I come to you because you're my only hope. Be the King and the Lord over my life. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your mighty, powerful name, Lord. Thank you that you called us to be your children, sons and daughters, Lord. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to seal what happened today, Lord. What we heard, not what we heard from our head or our ears, but what we heard from our hearts, Lord, to seal it with the power of the Holy Spirit. And make the influence, Lord, to bring fruit to the kingdom. To the kingdom, Lord. To your glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.